You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to exposing and opposing the pro-homosexual activist movement. And I'm excited to have a guest this week. And the show will be airing on Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm excited to have CHAPS Gordon James Klingenschmidt, and I'll introduce him in a little bit. But before I do, I have to talk about something that happened here in Chicago, where we're based. We're based in the suburbs of Chicago, Carroll Stream, Illinois. Americans for Truth, and some of you might have seen it, we were labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as an official, quote, hate group, and a number of other pro-family organizations were as well, some much larger than ours. For example, Family Research Council, the American Family Association, right here in Illinois, the Illinois Family Institute. And so what this group, this left-wing organization called the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has done is they've sort of they've laid down the gauntlet. They're challenging. They are now labeling mainstream pro-family organizations that oppose homosexuality in a way that the SPLC does not approve of. In other words, you can oppose it, but it has to be their way. You can't say certain things. You can't make certain arguments. And they're calling that hate. And this is an insidious trick by the SPLC to try to demonize and ostracize and stigmatize pro-family organizations. I'm sure they've got their eyes on CHAPS Klingenschmidt. He'll probably be on that list in no short time. They put us on the list, and we're contesting that, and we're saying to disagree with homosexuality is not hate. And this is a very dangerous thing when you start politicizing hate like they're doing. But lo and behold, we get a call from Channel 5, Fox News here in Chicago. And they wanted to do a story. And we were a little bit suspicious because we knew they were talking to the Gay Liberation Network, which is a radical fringe Marxist organization in Chicago. And they're a nasty bunch, let me tell you. And it turns out that the Gay Liberation Network was the group that reported our group, Americans for Truth, to the Southern Poverty Law Center and said, hey, you need to label this group as a hateful group. By the way, one of the members of the Gay Liberation Network when I was at a protesting a gay event in Chicago, he came up to me and he said that if it weren't for the police who are standing nearby, I would push you into the street. In other words, he would push me into oncoming traffic, which I regard as truly a hateful thing to say, an implied threat of violence. His name is Bob Schwartz. He's with the Gay Liberation Network. That was the group that reported us as haters. Okay, so we've got the Fox News show, and we do the interview. The reporter is Mark Saxonmeier. He's homosexual. He's really a gay advocate. He would not say he's an activist, but he's an advocate for homosexuality. And he interviewed us about the SPLC claim that we're a hate group. Well, we finally saw the show just the other night. We're pre-recording today. Today is Wednesday the 22nd. This show airs Christmas night, but the show on Fox ran a couple days ago, Monday night, actually, and it was really a hit piece against Americans for Truth. The lead-in, Robin Robinson, the host, said, you know, some of these groups are dangerous. She used the word dangerous. It turns out they had a few undercover spies at some of our events, including our banquet where Ken Hutcherson, who you heard on the radio here, being interviewed by us. And by the way, all our interviews are up at AmericansForTruth.com. Just hit the button for the Americans for Truth Hour on the right side. You can listen to any interview, including our interview with CHAPS that we'll be doing here. And this was really a hit piece. And they had these spies, and they relied on the characterization of our events by these liberal young people. And it was just a distorted account. We had our 3-day Truth Academy, and it was a wonderful event. 3 full days of lectures on the subject of homosexuality. And to hear this young, this woman named Maria Paul, who is one of the spies, to hear her tell it, it sounded like some extremist event, you know, where we're talking about gay camps and all this. It was just distorted. And the thrust of the report was that this is a hate group. And even though they included an interview with me where I said to disagree is not to hate, the idea was that it was taking seriously the SPLC's idea that we're a hate group. And they even featured interviews with Andy Thayer, who's the head of the Gay Liberation Network, who is truly a hateful individual. These are people who label, for example, Moody Church in Chicago, that venerable institution, they label it a house of hate. They called Cardinal Francis George a hater. You know, people who don't have a hateful bone in their bodies, they're calling them hate. And that, to me, is an act of extreme prejudice and bigotry against people of faith. And so I would encourage you to go to our website, AFTA.org. That's AFTAH or AmericansForTruth.com. Go to our website, click on the story about Fox Chicago's report, complain to Fox, and just beware, because the left, the secular left in this country, is trying to demonize people of faith. And Chaps, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir. God bless you, Peter, and Merry Christmas to all your listeners in Jesus' name. Can I say that on your show?
You can say it in our show. We encourage you to say it, Chaps. And I'm sorry you had to wait for that introduction, but folks, Chaps Klingenschmidt, I'm just getting to know him, but I am so impressed with his hard work. He is really a fighter. And let me get his bio here that I got from his website. Chaps' group is the Pray in Jesus' Name. Is it called the Pray in Jesus' Name Project, Chaps?
Pray in Jesus' Name Project or PrayInJesusName.org. You can read all about my bio that Peter's about to quote, but many of your listeners may remember I was a Navy chaplain who got punished for praying in Jesus' name.
Yeah, could you give us a short background on that, Chaps, how that happened?
Yes, well, I'm an Air Force Academy graduate. I switched to become a Navy chaplain. I had a 16-year career as an officer, which was cut short. In 2006, the Secretary of the Navy wrote a bad policy, said that chaplains have to pray non-sectarian prayers. They can't use the word Jesus in public unless they're inside of a Sunday chapel. Well, I've violated that policy. I figure if they're going to punish chaplains who pray in Jesus' name, then I want to be the first. So I called a press conference with my good friend Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge from Alabama. And we stood outside the White House on a Thursday morning. I wore my full dress uniform, and I prayed in Jesus' name on national television. I refused to make any political speeches. All I did was read a prayer. And I went back to work, and I demanded the Navy enforce their bad policy against me. I demanded my own court-martial, and God bless the Navy brass, they granted my request.
And from there, where did it go? At one point, you went on a hunger strike. How did that happen, Chaps?
Well, that was when my commanding officer punished me in writing 3 times for quoting the Bible in chapel. The Navy was preparing to kick me out just for quoting the Bible in chapel, but I went on a hunger strike, and I brought attention to that. And with so much media pressure, the Navy backpedaled and surrendered. But then they wrote the bad prayer policy. So not only was I being punished for my sermons, but then I was being punished for my prayers, and it went to a trial. So the judge had to decide, do chaplains have the right to pray in Jesus' name or to do that in uniform? The Navy uniform regulations specifically authorize in number 6405 says a chaplain has the option to wear the uniform during any act of public worship. But the judge read the new policy, which I was in violation of, which says that public worship is only safe inside of a Sunday chapel. But since I prayed on a Thursday morning outside of the White House, that was not public worship. That was worshiping in public.
Interesting.
And worshiping in public is not protected by federal law, can be punished as a misdemeanor crime if you do that in public in uniform, guilty of violating the Navy policy by praying in Jesus' name outside of chapel.
Wow, Chaps. How did we get to the point where quoting the Bible in chapel was wrong, was banned?
Well, we're in a society where anything that offends somebody is punishable. And if the chaplain dares to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ or dares to proclaim the cross and Jesus Christ as the way to heaven, that is offensive. My commanding officer said, when you quoted John 3:36, if anyone believes in the Son, he has eternal life. If anyone does not believe in Jesus, he does not have eternal life, for God's wrath remains upon him. Just by quoting that Bible verse in the chapel, I offended my commander because he called me in and said, I heard you say that Jesus is the way to heaven. Well, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, so I heard you telling me I was not saved, and that hurt my feelings.
Wow.
So when you hurt the feelings of the commanding officer by preaching the gospel, the commanding officer then apparently has the privilege to punish the chaplain as he did in writing 3 times for that sermon. They violated the First Amendment. They violated the Constitution. But more importantly, I think they heard the gospel message. They heard that salvation is through Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins. And if I need to be punished for preaching the gospel, I will continue to do that at all costs.
Yeah, that's the kind of persecution you want, right? And the Bible predicts we will get. If you are staying true to the Word of God, you will be persecuted. And chaps, I found the thing I was looking for. It's a Washington Post article. And, of course, if you're a conservative, you sort of have to read the Washington Post like the old Soviet Union citizens used to read Pravda. You had to sort of, you know, you have to read through the lines. But we'll have to talk about it after the break here. But it talks about an incident where you led a group of naval personnel who refused to attend a church service led by a gay minister during Fleet Week. So I want to hear all about that. We're talking to Chaps Klingenschmidt from the Pray in Jesus Name Project. His website is PrayInJesusName.org, and we'll be right back after the break. Everybody, to our interview on the Americans for Truth Hour with Chaps Gordon James Klingenschmidt. Chaps is what all his friends know him. I wouldn't consider myself a friend yet, Chaps, although I'm friendly to your mission, and I think you're doing wonderful work. Chaps led in many respects. He was really did wonderful work on the effort to resist Obama's campaign to reverse the ban on open homosexuality in the military. And that's why we're having him on the show. But briefly, from the Washington Post story, Chaps, what is this here about that you led a group of Navy personnel who refused to attend a church service led by a gay minister during Fleet Week? What was that story about?
Well, back in 2005, my ship was invited to Fleet Week in New York City. And part of that was that we were ordered, really, by a senior chaplain who happened to be a UCC, United Church of Christ, pro-homosexual chaplain, that they were ordering soldiers to attend mandatory church services at a homosexual church. And I said I didn't want to do that. I wanted to lead sailors to give them a choice to go to a Christian church instead. And they said, no, you can't do that. And then they punished me in writing for refusing to support their event. So not only did they violate the rights of my sailors, but they violated, obviously, the First Amendment and Navy protocol, the rights of Christian sailors of any kind to worship according to their own choice instead of being forced to, attend a homosexual church.
Yeah, Chaps, it would be interesting to get a hold of your file, if you could. I bet it's pretty thick.
Well, I have a lot of those documents are posted in our archives at the old website, which is persuade.tv. I scanned in all the documents. I posted them online, and that's why I had so much press attention, especially from the Washington Post. But I was also on the front page of the Washington Times, New York Times, CNN, Hannity and Combs, Tucker Carlson, MSNBC, the 700 Club 3 times. Interestingly, Peter, so many Americans were outraged by how the Navy handled all this, that they would write a policy punishing chaplains who pray in Jesus' name, that 300,000 Americans signed a petition for Jesus. And Congress agreed with me. Even though I lost my career, I was honorably discharged, but I lost a 16-year career. I lost a $1 million pension. My family was kicked out of our home. But Congress agreed with me, and Congress rebuked the Navy and rescinded the bad policy. So thanks be to God. Now all the other chaplains are free again to pray in Jesus' name, even in uniform, even in public, 7 days a week.
Now, was that a law that Congress, a bill that they enacted that was signed into law? What happened there?
It was part of the 2007 Defense Authorization Act. There was a conference report attached to that act, which was signed by President Bush, which ordered the Secretary of the Navy to reverse his own policy. So they did not pass a new law, but they did rescind the Navy policy, and the Secretary of the Navy repented by signing his own rescission of his own policy, which is the same policy that was used to punish me in my court-martial. So
there's a lot one person can do, huh, chaps?
Yeah, I mean, we took a stand. We dared the Navy to punish me, and then because, you know, it's like the resurrection story. After death, there is a resurrection, and Jesus promised that if we would lay down our lives for him, that he would resurrect us. So I had faith in that promise. It was the only thing that got me through, with support of my family and my wife and everybody who stood with me. But yes, the American people stood with me, and we rose up together. I think it caused a national revival. There were, you know, anytime 300,000 Americans sign a petition for Jesus, I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing. And chaps, now let's get to the don't ask, don't tell so-called issue here in Congress. I want to read from a press release that you just put out on Christian Newswire yesterday, I believe. This is just dated December 19th because we are pre-recording. The headline is, "Open homosexuality, still a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God, even in the military, after 65-31 Senate vote to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell." And there's a key paragraph I want to read here, chaps. Well, number one, you talk about the Senate vote will force, quote, "open homosexual aggression upon our troops," unquote. I want you to talk about that. And the next thing is, three paragraphs down, "homosexual sin will always be a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God, an abomination which God condemns and shall punish with everlasting destruction. Even if the Senate had voted 100-0 to legalize sin, they could not remove God from his throne of judgment, before which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." You know, chaps, that was refreshing to read that, because people don't talk like that anymore. There's no fear of God, and no pursuit of holiness, it seems, in the public realm here.
Well, I was looking around on, you know, different conservative movement sites, and you saw this issue was pretty much ignored by the mainstream media. Well, the mainstream media campaigned for the homosexuals, but even the conservative media sort of ignored this. You never saw it on Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh. They didn't come out and say, "Hey, this vote is coming up. Let's all be mindful of this." It was just totally ignored. So when,
and shame on them for doing that.
Well, you're
chaps.
Right. But you were very vocal, Peter. And I know Elaine Donnelly was very vocal, and I was very vocal. We had 205,000 petition signatures, which we faxed to every congressman. And we stood against the homosexualization of the military. We stood against this policy. And then when it was passed, I felt like, as a chaplain, somebody's got to speak the word of God. So I did quote Psalm 92, verse 7, and people asked me, why is God allowing this? Why does God allow evil to flourish, and why does God allow open homosexuality to be forced on our military? And I'm saying, here's the reason. God gave a specific reason in Psalm 92, in verse 7, which says this: "When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is so that they shall be destroyed forever." So that's the reason God allows evil. God allows wickedness to flourish so that it shall be destroyed forever. That's the only reason they're being allowed to flourish right now, and God is preparing a day for their judgment.
Yeah, and chaps, you know, it's we've gotten away from the holiness of God. You say that homosexual sin will always be a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. Explain that. I mean, we don't talk about wickedness anymore in our culture, do we?
Well, not just homosexual sin, but all kinds of sin
right.
is demonic, and it's highly offensive to a holy God. My sins, good grief, I was an alcoholic, I was full of greed, I was full of, you know, lust and selfishness. All of those things can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. That's the only solution we have to appease the wrath of a holy and righteous God, and that is the mercy of God. It's like a two-sided coin. But if we do not receive the mercy of God, then the only thing we can expect is the wrath of God. So I would encourage everybody listening, maybe there's some non-Christians who might hear this, maybe even some homosexuals who might hear this. And I say there is hope for you, there is deliverance, there is forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ if you will accept him as your Lord and allow him to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. We need to receive the mercy of God so that we don't have to receive his wrath.
Right. And Chaps, that is, we want to relay that grace as Christians, especially in this culture war. Anybody who's a true Christian knows that they have been forgiven greatly the sin in their own life, which allows them the grace. We're not saying we're better than people struggling with homosexuality. What we're saying is that same forgiveness that we received, we want to share with you.
That's right. And that forgiveness is offered freely, and yet it will cost us our sins. That's when the holiness comes in, when the Holy Spirit fills our heart, he changes our morality. He changes our lives, and we welcome that. I'll tell you, I don't know, maybe after the break, Peter, if there's one coming up, I have a wonderful story about an exorcism that I did when I was a Navy chaplain of a lesbian sailor who came out and was set free of her sins, gave her life to Jesus Christ, and we saw miracles. Not just of homosexuals, but of atheists and Wiccans, and we saw healings, and we saw a lot of deliverance. Jesus is powerful. The Holy Spirit is moving in society today, and we want to cooperate with that.
Did you have the chance to share with a lot of homosexuals, people struggling with that issue, in your service as a chaplain?
Well, yes. I wouldn't say it was a lot, but there are, you know, everyone on the ship knows who they are, and they know who they are. And even if they weren't talking about it, you know, there's always whisper campaigns. But as the privilege I had as a chaplain was to offer them absolutely 100% confidential counseling. They could not get that from their doctors. They could not get that from their lawyers. But if you go to a chaplain and confess your sins, it is absolutely confidential. So I was able to hear the confessions, to provide deliverance and even minister Jesus Christ to them when they would, come out in that way.
Well, Chaps, it's amazing that you're doing this line of work now after all you've been through. You must feel like the Lord got you out of that situation for a purpose, for almost, a much larger purpose of rallying the nation which you did in this particular fight.
Well, yes. My ministry now, even though what the devil tried to take away, God has multiplied 100-fold. I've traveled the country. I've preached in 23 states, over 100 churches. I'm on the radio with probably 3 or 5 national radio shows every month, probably another 3 or 5 local radio shows every week. I'm just overwhelmed with interview requests, and our internet work has really taken off. We have delivered, for example, over 1 million petitions to defeat some of these liberal judges.
Oh, hold on there, Chaps. We've got the break coming up. We're talking to Chaps Klingenschmidt. I'm Pete LaBarber with AmericansForTruth.org. Be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everyone. We're talking to Chaps Klingenschmidt. Chaps Klingenschmidt is the founder of the Pray in Jesus' Name Project. Their website is PrayInJesusName.org. And Chaps has done yeoman's work, not just on this recent attempt to stop Barack Obama's homosexualization of the U.S. military, and that's exactly what it is. But together we fought against Elena Kagan, Obama's radical, very radical nominee to the Supreme Court, and Chaps did wonderful work there, and he's just really mobilizing. And I think people like Chaps are filling the void left by Focus on the Family, and Focus is still doing work in this area, but not nearly as visible and as comprehensive, I think, as they once were under Jim Dobson. And so, you know, a new bunch of advocates are rising up. Chaps, you alluded to a story about an exorcism with a lesbian, a woman trapped in lesbianism. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, as a Navy chaplain, one of my first counseling assignments walked into my office and sat down with me was a young woman who had been raped. And it was tragic. I mean, she was a victim of abuse and was going through a trial process where she was the witness against another sailor. They were both sailors who was on her ship. But she said privately to me, "Chaplain, it was not consensual sex because I don't even like men. I'm a lesbian. So what should I do?" And I wept with her and I cried with her. And I asked her, about her background. It turns out she had been abused as a child by some men in her family. And I said, "Let me ask you a question. All these men who abused you, were they full of the devil or were they full of Jesus Christ?" And she had to answer, "Well, of course they're full of the devil." I said, "If they were full of Jesus Christ, how would they have treated you?" She had to think about that. And she said, "Well, probably they would treat me as a gentleman would treat a young lady. They would be, you know, kind and sweet and never abusive in any way." I said, "Well, that is proof right there, perhaps, that Jesus Christ himself can be the first man that you trust. That even though these other men were not trustworthy, it was only because they were full of evil. But if a man such as Jesus himself were here, would he treat you with love and kindness?" She said, "Yes, I'm sure he would." Then I suggested we had a wedding ceremony, and she got married to Jesus Christ as the first man that she could ever trust. She gave her life to Jesus. She welcomed the Holy Spirit. And I looked in her eyes as she began to weep. I said, "You foul spirit of lesbianism, this woman has renounced you. Come out of her in Jesus' name." And she began to wrestle with that, and suddenly her eyes began to bug out, and then she began to weep and weep and weep. As the Holy Spirit forgave her sins, she was baptized the next day. She told all this story publicly, so I'm not betraying her confidence. And then she's, you know, became one of the best evangelists in our church, started carrying around her Bible, telling all of her friends about Jesus, and she started dating boys. So there is health and healing and hope for those who are trapped in this addictive sexual lust of a lifestyle. And that hope and healing comes through the love that is offered by Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's amazing. Where have do you keep in touch with her, Chaps?
I have not. I've lost touch with so many of my sailors over the years, but that's just one. I led 45 sailors to faith in Jesus out of 300 on my ship. We saw all kinds of baptisms and exorcisms and healings, and there's just so many wonderful experiences that I had as a chaplain. Although my ministry was very small then compared to what it is now. Now we have, you know, tens of thousands of people on our email list. You can sign up for our alerts at PrayInJesusName.org. You can sign our free petitions, and we delivered probably 1.4 million petitions to Congress to stop abortion funding in the Obama health care bill. We delivered, as I said, 200,000 petitions to protect the military from open homosexuality and stop the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Unfortunately, that effort failed. And today, Wednesday, the president signed that bill into law.
Yeah, it's a very sad day for this country because the military will become the paradigm for society. And this advances the false claim of homosexuality as a civil rights issue. Chaps, talk about the implications for chaplains under this bill. What's going to happen? I mean, the report said that was put out by Defense Secretary Gates and Obama. It said that they were going to be really diligent to protect religious freedom. But what's really going to happen as the largest government agency pushes for the acceptance of homosexuality?
Well, the government can never turn a wrong into a right, because our rights come from Almighty God. And if God says you never, ever have the right to sin, then it doesn't matter if the government pretends that you have that right, it's still wrong. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing is I'm very concerned about the rights of chaplains, especially in the military. We are going to be accused of being discriminatory if we dare to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the same way that I was accused of discriminating against non-Christians by saying that Jesus is the way to heaven. If they punish me for that in writing, they will certainly do that to other chaplains now that open homosexuality is the new en vogue, it's the in thing. I fear for our chaplains, and there's already a group of 65 chaplains who are represented by the Rutherford Institute, all of them evangelicals who were passed over for promotion and denied continuation of their careers because they prayed and preached in Jesus' name. Now that homosexuality is the new buzzword of the military, how long do you think until all of the chaplains who take a stand for righteousness are going to be drummed out of the service and passed over for promotion?
Now, chaps, talk about the unit cohesion and the morale. You know, we know that there's a battle in the culture between gay activism, homosexual activism, and religious freedom. Now you're talking about in a government, basically the military is a government organization. The government is saying that it's going to protect religious freedom, including the full right. They're saying the full right to oppose homosexuality. And yet they're going to be doing, you know, they're going to be doing re-education seminars to promote the acceptance of homosexuality. So we're going to see that battle played out in our military.
That's right. Admiral Mullen testified on Capitol Hill before the Congress. He was asked by Senator James Webb, what are you going to do with these pockets of resistance? And Admiral Mullen's response was, we're going to provide intense training to re-educate people who are uncomfortable with sharing open shower bays with homosexuals, with sharing common sleeping quarters with homosexuals. So even if you have a moral objection, for example, I read the 345-page Pentagon report when they polled our troops. Did you know, Peter, that 71% of our troops, if they were polled, they said they would not share open shower facilities with open homosexuals. They would either shower at other times or complain to leadership, or they would do, quote, something else, which may include physical violence, to protect their own right to not be ogled or violated or made advances upon when they're trying to shower or when they're trying to sleep in a two-man tent on the front lines. 85% of Marine combat arms, 75% of Army combat arms, those are the frontline war fighters. They said that open homosexuality would have negative, very negative, or mixed impact on unit trust. So it's going to destroy unit trust. Another question, 45 in the poll said, if you ever had a leader whom you believed was gay or lesbian, was that a positive or negative impact on unit performance? 9% said having a gay leader was a positive impact. 91% said having a gay leader was a negative or mixed impact on the unit's performance. So it's going to cost American lives. It's not only a distraction, it is divisive when you have people flaunting their homosexual aggression and sexual harassment has no place in our military, but now it's going to be national policy.
Yeah, Chaps, let me zoom in on one of those questions. You referenced the question about, I'll read question 69C from the report. Don't ask, don't tell. If don't ask, don't tell is repealed and you are working with a service member in your immediate unit who has said he or she is gay or lesbian, how, if at all, would it affect the extent to which leaders in your immediate unit have the skills and abilities to lead the members into combat? Now, the negatives, I'm talking that the answer, the ones who responded negative or very negatively overall of all, from all the services, was 23.9%. That's negative. In the Marines, it was more like 34%. 34% negative. We're talking about massive numbers here. And Chaps, I read most of the report myself, and there was one part where they admitted that from all the people who went to the forums or who contacted the service about this policy, in other words, there was an official questionnaire that a lot of them took, but there was also people who the input they got from these various fora that they went to, they admitted in the report that the majority were opposed to the repeal of the policy, and yet they push forward. This report was really, we got a minute left, Chaps, but this report was a spin job for the Obama administration, and yet it still revealed a lot that supports our side.
Well, and you didn't include the soldiers who have mixed feelings. There's 60% in the squishy middle who say it'll have a mixed impact. So in other words, if 10% are on the left and say, yeah, homosexuality is good, and 30% are on the right and say, oh, homosexuality is very negative, then you have 60% in the middle, then guess what? You have 70% who say it's positive or mixed feelings.
Right.
You have 90% who say it's negative or mixed feelings. So when the Washington Post spun this, they reported the 70% statistic, including all the people with mixed feelings, as if they were on the left.
Right.
I include those on the right. I'm saying 90% of our troops oppose this or have mixed feelings about it.
Well, I'm shocked, Chaps, that you would interpret it the opposite of the Washington Post. But we're talking to Chaps Klingenschmidt. He's the founder of the Pray in Jesus Name Project. The website is prayinjesusname.org. If you want to see his story from before that, go to persuade.tv. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And before we do our final segment here with Chaps Klingenschmidt, let me say that it's the end of the year. This is airing on Christmas. We need your support at Americans for Truth. If you believe in our organization, if you believe that there needs to be organization like ours, like Chaps, that are actually contesting against the hugely funded, very well organized and powerful homosexual activist movement. It's not just homosexuality, it's bisexuality, lesbianism, transsexuality. Then support our organizations. Support Chaps. Support Americans for Truth. Our gifts are tax deductible. And you can go to AmericansForTruth.org and hit the donate button. And you can give to Chaps at PrayInJesusName.org. That's PrayInJesusName.org. We certainly need help, especially at year's end. Chaps, let's talk about the vote. Were you surprised at some of the Republicans that voted both in the House and the Senate that voted with the majority, virtually all the Democrats, almost all of them in the Senate and all but 15, I think, in the House? Were you surprised at any of the ones who voted for the homosexualization of the military?
Well, I would say the number one senator that I'm most disappointed in is Mark Kirk of Illinois. Senator Kirk, you know, I did him a favor before the election when I faxed voter guides to all of the pastors, probably over 7,000 pastors in the state of Illinois, simply listing his name on the voter guide and how he voted when he was a congressman. He voted against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He was in favor of protecting our troops from open homosexuality as a congressman. So I faxed that to all the pastors across Illinois. The pastors mobilized the church voters. The church voters put him in office. And then what did he do? He turned around and stabbed us in the back. He voted the opposite. He changed his vote. And now he's in favor of homosexuality. And I'm very disappointed in that betrayal.
Well, Chaps, did you know that he's also the target of the gay outing advocate, the homosexual outing advocate, activist Mike Rogers? So I wonder if there's a factor here. Rogers is a homosexual activist who makes claims that certain people are homosexuals. He's trying to out Mark Kirk. But one thing that's fascinating, chaps, is that Mark Kirk's ex-wife said that his first vote on this issue when he got to the Senate would be for the repeal of the ban on homosexuals in the military. Did you know that?
I had read that she was disappointed in him, and now she's proud of him because he changed his vote. But I didn't know if there was an angle or why they got divorced, or I've heard people say that, you know, accusing him, why is he a single man, whether or not he's a homosexual. I don't believe that. But, you know, it's an interesting angle to the story.
Well, yeah, and the idea that these people like Rogers are out there pressuring, you know, they can push people. For example, David Dreyer on the House side, you know, that's interesting. He's now voting for the radical homosexual agenda. Dreyer was once known as a conservative Republican. He changed his voting on this issue. And Rogers, Mike Rogers, that homosexual activist, has been targeting Dreyer. So that's just a factor in these votes. And it's a reason why the Republican Party will not be helped by the presence of homosexuals in the ranks, I don't think, chaps.
Well, I'm targeting also. We've identified 25 pro-homosexual senators who are up for re-election in 2 years, and I'm going to fax voter guides to up to 125,000 pastors across America, like we did a few months ago. And when the church vote shows up, we see what just happened. 32% of this election, all the church vote, all the voters identified as evangelical or conservative Christian, and 78% of those went for the Republican Party. That's why we were able to swing the House of Representatives away from Nancy Pelosi's agenda. And I'm so pleased now that John Boehner is, you know, going to support a social conservative message, and hopefully they'll take a vote to eventually reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or at least come up with something to revoke now what they have now. The current law is the LGBT law forced upon the military. So we got to switch that around. And
it's going to take a lot of work, isn't it, chaps? The Republican Party is going to we're going to be pushing the Republican Party and Democrats who believe in a stronger military to do something to get this back. Now, the actual policy banned homosexuals from serving. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was actually a compromise pushed by President Clinton. But there we see that incremental agenda, chaps. They first got the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Then they got a complete complete opportunity to serve. And that's that incremental gay agenda.
Well, next thing they're going to want cross-dressers, and that's not going to work with military uniforms.
Well, wait a minute, chaps. Let me interrupt you. Also, that report that we both read, they punted. They deferred on the question of benefits. Now, the first thing the homosexual activists are going to do is they're going to say, we need same-sex benefits, or we need our relationships recognized, we need housing, we need married housing if they come from states like Massachusetts, where there is homosexual so-called marriage. So wasn't it disingenuous of the military to sort of defer on those points, which you know are going to come up now that homosexuality is in the military?
Well, they have a problem. It's called the Defense of Marriage Act, which is also the law, and that has not yet been repealed. I'm sure President Obama wants to get rid of that, but federal government cannot give same-sex benefits right now, and that includes the military, and that was in this repeal that President Obama signed today, Wednesday. I know this is airing on Christmas Day, but it affirmed DOMA as the law of the land, said that they cannot have benefits because of the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah, but Obama is busy also undermining that policy. For example, he granted benefits to federal employees. I think he granted child leave. He has granted domestic partner benefits. So you know they're going to be working hard to change that in the military. And that in and of itself is going to cause a lot of havoc in the military, isn't it, chaps, when you have married housing and then ultimately they'll want homosexual so-called married housing? That's going to be a lot of trouble.
Well, yeah, it'll hurt the families, but I'm more concerned about the troops on the front lines. When you have to share two-man tents, when you have to share open shower facilities, there's going to be fights. And you know who's going to get punished. It's not going to be the homosexual. It's going to be the Christian soldier who is not going to be guaranteed or respected. His moral objection to even speak out loud his opinion that homosexuality is a sin. Not only will they punish chaplains, but likely punish soldiers. They certainly won't get promoted. And eventually you're going to have the top generals in the military, all of them may be homosexual someday. What's going to happen then? They'll turn their back against the Christian people and they'll declare war on the American citizens.
Yeah, if you have a person in authority who has that the power to punish, you're absolutely right. This could happen. And what if a Christian decides to share the gospel with a person practicing homosexuality, and that person is sort of an activist, and he reports it up, and he reports that Christian, and they distort it, and they say that that person hates me because I'm gay, so-called, that sort of thing. I can see lots of those situations developing.
Well, in the report, they said, we won't do that to chaplains as long as they're in their chapel services. Well, that's only 1 hour a week. Do we not have freedom the other 6 days of the week to say what we believe? I'm really concerned about this. I'm going to be petitioning Congress for a very strong bill that I think we can get through the House to protect chaplains' freedoms, not only inside the chapel, but 7 days a week. The way that I was punished, we need to make sure that never happens to other chaplains.
Absolutely, Chaps. And we need to hold these politicians accountable. And you can do that by going to PrayInJesusName.org or AmericansForTruth.org. Find out how your people voted. Quickly, Chaps, we only got about 30 seconds left. How about Richard Burr in North Carolina? That must have been a surprise.
I was very disappointed. It's another senator that I helped. We faxed all these voter guides to North Carolina pastors promoting Richard Burr, and then he betrayed those same voters. He's never going to get my help again. He stabbed us in the back.
Well, Chaps, thanks so much. We're going to have another interview with Chaps in the new year. But, Chaps, thanks for being on our show, and we look forward to have a Merry Christmas, even though it's the end of the night when this airs.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas to everybody. God bless you and your listeners in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Chaps. Go on and get the information about how your representatives voted. You can find that at AmericansForTruth.org or PrayInJesusName.org. Merry Christmas to everybody. God bless you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.